What country is this car from?
It no longer exists, but take her for a test drive, and you'll agree. Zagreb FM Zloty Kiev.
Hello and welcome to Colon H, a Die Hard Simpsons podcast. My name is Terry.
My name is Andy.
Andy, how the hell are thee?
Ah, very thee well, Terry. Very thee well. And how are you?
I too am well.
Good to hear it.
I can see you this week, which is...
Terry,
I don't know if it's an improvement or not.
Well, this is it. Yes, I have the internet back. The internet.
Yes,
I'm so
the internet
fucking
store
old. I'm already
open.
Calling it. Yes, I have the internet back on the World Wide Web. Eight days I went without it. All because of my fucking fuck-up of... Canceling Sky. Yeah,
you're being
and then
pretty
coming.
Hard on yourself, to be honest. Like,
crawling.
You know, like 8 days is a fucking long.
It is a long time.
It's a long wait. Like, you wouldn't wait that long for a package from Amazon.
And they bloody sent me. I got like a modem and something else in the post. I'm like, this is unbelievable. Like, I don't even need this. I told them.
All I had to do is flick the fucking switch. Surely, like, you know,
it is. That's what I said on the phone last week. I was like, I called them four times out of the 5 days last week, and I was like, I don't know where I get off actually. I was like, can you not just give me a priority here in this one case? Like, I have been with you years before. I was like, it's just the orange light is yellow. I know there's more to it, but we both know someone can turn it on today if he wanted to. And then she was like, oh, well, the engineer can't. I was like, why not?
What'd she say?
She's like, scheduling something or that. And I was like, and then she said, I'm not sure, but let me go check again. And then she came back. She's like, yeah, no, he can't. I'm like, right, well, we both know it's not that he can't. It's just that he won't. But, like, what can
I do?
I was a proper fucking arsehole, to be honest. And I was like, I'm sorry, I know you don't want the first calling today to be someone like, giving out straight away, but, you know, blah, 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 blah.
So how did you cope for those 8 days?
To be honest, it was fairly straightforward. I just... get it over with.
Now, Andy, what I'm drinking here is... Or what I'm about to try for the first time in uncharted waters.
Good, I was hoping for a newbie.
It's a Yeasty Boys. Do you like that name?
No.
I think it's pretty fucking good.
Sounds
Yeasty Boys.
Unappealing.
It's an Earl Grey IPA. Now, I know what you're thinking. I don't drink tea. So what am I doing trying
what
Earl Grey?
What are you doing?
Well, my wife picked it up for me along with a few other beers. And
brilliant.
You know what?
You are going to hate it.
I know. And me being the trooper that I am, I said, this will be a good bit for the show.
Great.
I'll drink it live to tape.
Brilliant.
So let me have a little pour of this here.
Pour all of it, because you're going to have to drink it all the way through, I imagine.
Well, if it's undrinkable,
well,
I won't.
While you're pouring that, Terry, you might have heard my standard.
Yeah, what's that?
Good old
red
cordial
goo?
In my H2O bottle that I bought for €3 in Home Savers. Jesus, let me see that.
Now,
okay,
it looks okay. Now, let me just read the description here before I take a sip.
Please do, Terry.
It says... boldly floral, much like your granny's bedroom.
What?
With stone fruit.
Doesn't say that.
It does. I'm hardly coming up with that off the top of my head. Your granny's
like
bedroom.
Your granny's, it sounds like something Ronan would say.
Yeah, exactly.
Our old boss. I wish I could repeat some of the shit he said.
Yeah, I know. Steely ruler. And that's all
it's
saying.
The Ave Maria one that gets me.
God.
It involves urination. This is just this is just the random, like, as someone's passing the shop, our old boss used to just say, hey, something insanely crude. Anyway.
Yeah. So it says, with stone fruit and citrus notes and a long, dry finish. So,
okay, well, just drink it.
Here's to it.
Here's to feeling good all the time. You don't even have to give me the reaction because I already can tell.
Wait a minute there.
Yeah. Right, now let me tell you one thing. I don't want any drink that gives me that reaction 5 seconds after
I look, so I was like, what is this? What is this? And then you get this little dance on your tongue of, that must be the stone fruit. No, this is not too bad. Not great. Too bad. Well, look at you, huh?
Well, don't I look stupid, huh?
Yeah. Well,
well, I'm delighted.
So were you using your hotspot to watch anything then?
Yeah, I was using my hotspot, and to be honest, it was fairly straightforward.
Yeah. What were you watching? Good?
Now, Terry, I was watching an old documentary on Amazon Prime. Kind soul has granted me the login. And
sounds like a hell of a guy.
He is, yeah. Close Encounters of the Fifth Kind, Terry. Now,
oh boy.
Let me tell you something. Wow. That's all I'll say. Wow.
I mean, it's an alien thing, is it? I guess
it's like an alien. It's an alien documentary. Okay, yeah. Let's just call a spade a spade.
Yeah, because I remember the last one you tried to make me watch was that fucking one on Netflix.
Yeah.
Area 51 or something?
It's something like that. Now,
turned it off after 20 minutes.
This same guy is in it. He's leading it. But what I like about it is because that other one was shite.
Everybody's going on about how great it was, though.
The filmmaker was trying to make it all this like dark, noir, fucking moody. Like, had nothing to do with the tone of what this guy was talking about. Whereas this one is a little bit more, for better or worse, a little bit more his input. But, it's great, but like they were talking about all these, like, because Close Encounters of the Fifth Kind, Terry. The first kind is seeing the UFOs. The Close Encounters of the Second, I can't remember. Third is contact or something. Don't know what
third
the
third is getting on the ship, isn't it, or whatever.
Something like that, yeah. But they have these things called CE5 events, where they can essentially talk to the aliens through their true like meditation and fucking whatever, right? And it has footage of like all these groups just seeing like on video, like, oh, there it goes right there, oh wow, look at that, like hundreds of them. Now, like, it gets a bit airy fairy, I'm not gonna lie, but it was interesting. It was
what
very
would you want an alien to look like if you had a close encounter with them?
I'd want it to look like I imagine that it looks
like.
Little
grey guy?
Smaller than me would be less intimidating. Yes.
Okay.
Maybe like two foot tall.
A little
grey.
Small grey fella?
A little grey big-headed fella. Running around.
I don't know if I like that.
Maybe 4 foot.
Yeah, but I just don't like that aesthetic.
What do you like?
I don't know.
What's your ideal alien? What would you want? If I say Terry, there's an alien behind that door right now, you'd be like, okay, what are you hoping for?
I don't know, something like Alf, maybe.
Alf.
Yeah,
that'd be terrifying.
Why?
Little hairy guy.
Yeah.
How's it going?
Yeah.
By the third season, I was wasted all the time. Pick the crap out of my fur before each take. Want to do it again?
That's Family Guy's best joke ever.
Yeah, probably, yeah. Right. Yeah. I was always a fan of the baseball umpire at the center of the earth. I'm not going to say it. But it was brilliant. Yeah. The other thing I started watching, I can't remember the bloody name of it. It's like White Farm House on Netflix. Like, it's in the charts, like top two or three.
What's it about?
It's like a true story about like this murder suicide, or so it seems.
God almighty, like, now, they're just so heavy.
It's fucking everywhere. I generally don't watch these sort of shows, but I vetoed so much lately that I've kind of like, yeah, okay, you know, like,
yeah.
I have to give the pretense that I'm easy going about these sort of things.
Really, skin is crawling.
Absolutely, and I'm not engaging in conversation about it at all. I'm just sitting there with the phone. I don't do that anymore. Anyway, so it's just all like I turned it off after one episode. Like, there's six episodes or whatever, but it's just all fucking crying and like parents being told about their kids being dead, like delivering news and having to see the rat. I'm like, all right, like, you know. And then the second episode, it was just getting into more of the same. I'm like, I don't want to watch this.
Who has time for that? Like, who has time for this stuff?
No.
Like, I don't, people like, love things that, are bad though. Enough. Things are bad enough. And then it's like, oh.
Yeah.
Now, having said that, I did watch the Britney Spears documentary.
I'm dying to watch it.
It's on. I think it's come it's on to.
Bloody Sky documentaries, yeah, or something.
There you brilliant. Go. You'll get it there if you series link it or whatever.
Is it as good as I mean, good is probably not the right word.
It's not an amazing documentary, but like...
Interesting.
It's just really fucking sad, though. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's...
Just Timberlake seems to have gotten a bit of a bad backlash from it.
I mean, I've always thought that it was kind of fucking shitty what happened with him and Janet Jackson. And it's like how she just like had all her music removed.
So what happened? Like,
so
she,
with the wardrobe malfunction, like,
but
and
it wasn't
boob.
A malfunction, though, was it?
It was, yeah.
But was it a real malfunction?
Yeah.
I thought it was. It looked planned.
No, it
she
wasn't.
She had the bloody thing on her nipple and all. What's that for? Like,
I don't know.
You know, like Lil Kim used to do, where they'd have the
is it not like
caveman style dress, and then the other boob just has something over the nipple.
I don't know. Well, anyway, it was like she had all her shit removed. Like, the radio stations weren't playing her music anymore.
What?
Yeah, like she, but she was that's it. You're a bad lady. We can't.
It's
know?
Crazy.
Like, she
I
hasn't had anything since that. Her career was over after that. And meanwhile, fucking Timberlake went on to be the biggest fucking recording star, and like, or one of them, like, of his generation.
Of the decade,
like,
I can't remember. It's been so long since I've seen it. I seem to remember thinking, was that not planned, and why is it? Was it just that it got bad backlash that Timberlake distanced himself from it, or what? I seen he apologized to her this week.
Yeah, he apologized to her and Britney, because in the Britney Spears documentary, they kind of talk about like how he very much controlled the narrative after they broke up,
and everything like the Cry Me a River video and all.
100%, that's what they kind of cite, and it was like
it's a shame. Like, it's such a banger of a song.
Yeah, again, it's not my favorite of his.
It's one of my favorite songs of the noughties. Of that decade, one of the best pop songs, top three of the noughties, that one is.
Wouldn't even be my top three of his, so there you go.
What's number one? It's gonna be Senorita or something like
Senorita
that.
Senorita is like two, maybe, when like I love you is number one. Like, it's just brilliant, like, you know.
You know what, that was actually a very it was a bit of a game changing song in a weird way, because I remember in school. Like, for me, I mean, I remember, like, Steph Ruddle, like, our mutual, well, he's, I guess you'd know him better. But
my pal?
Yes, Terry's pal. But I remember him turning around to Podge or something, going like, do you hear that Justin Timberlake song or whatever? It's like, it's fucking deadly, isn't it? Or it was something like that. And it was something, I remember having, like, a penny drop in my head in school. I think it was, like, fifth year. I'm like, oh, it's okay to like, even though he used to be in NSYNC, like, it's okay to actually think this is good.
Like, I always felt that way. Because I love that Beyonce song, Crazy in Love.
I
always remember, like, when Dave Grohl was like, did you guys hear that new Beyonce song? Man, that thing is brilliant. I'm like, no, okay.
Like, yes, it's okay.
The door's open. Like.
Well, Dave Grohl said it's cool. But anyway, yeah. Yeah, I definitely want to see that doc anyway.
It's just sad how, like they show you how much the paparazzi was surrounding her, and it was just like it's just like gross, like it's just rotten looking at, like, you know,
it's so you wonder about all the paparazzi, like you actually look at them, it's like, well, what are they like, you know, like,
but they have a paparazzi on it, and he's like, oh, she needed us as much as, and I was like, you're fucking scum, like, you're scum of the earth, like
poison,
like. Yeah, exactly, you're like off the bottom of my shoe, mate. He's like, I didn't want to be start off as a, you know, paparazzi. I wanted to be a filmmaker. I was like, fuck you, you know.
Scorsese, he'd love you, like. But that's also, all I've been. What have you? What else have you been?
I watched a movie, not on your recommendation, but adjacent to something that you sent me a list of songs that we're going to be doing for the Patreon episode, and one of the songs on that is from the movie Sing.
Yeah.
So we were like, and we kind of, whatever it was on the weekend, really bad weather or something, we were cooped up, and we were like, maybe we'll stick something on for Bonnie.
Mm-hmm.
She loves music more so, like, she won't really watch a lot of, she won't watch a movie. Really.
She won't watch stuff with talking in it, basically.
Yeah. So I was like, Johnny Sing, was like that at that age. It's full of music. It's like,
No.
It's like huge squats of like, I'm like, when are they going to sing?
And
it's
who it's aimed for. I don't know who that movie is for. It's like an adult almost sort of dialogue for the first hour and 20 minutes. And then the last half an hour is all the songs. But
I thought we were on to a winner when it was like literally the first scene is like Golden Slumbers sung by Jennifer Hudson. And like Bonnie, that's one of the songs I sing to Bonnie going to sleep. And she was in her little chair and her arms were going. And we were in favor, like, this is so cute. Like, oh, brilliant. And then it was like, an hour later, like, there hasn't been another song. Like, what the fuck? Like, give me something.
We used to always just actually just skip it just to the songs, to be honest.
But see, there wasn't on Netflix, so I was having to use a doodad, you see.
The old doodad.
So it was like, eventually we got to the end.
What did you think overall?
Not great, like, to be honest.
Yeah.
Not a good, like...
I don't know what the market is, who it's for, like... it's 11-year-olds, 12-year-olds, like
I don't know, because like obviously Joni has liked it, and like my niece Rosie went through a phase of just wanting to watch it as well, like,
yeah,
so it's like, but she would have been about 3, I'd say, at that stage.
Yeah, Joni was the same. Joni much preferred it when she was 3.
Maybe it's because it's like, you know, fuzzy animals or whatever like that, like,
yeah. But it's all right. That's what
I would say it's a miss, to be honest. Like,
yeah, kind of, yeah.
Yeah. But I tell you what wasn't a miss.
Go on.
Something I watched Friday night. Because we were flicking around, trying to like, what we watch, about going back and forth. And then I was like on Netflix.
I love the way you build like the story to what you picked.
Well, because I was like, what can I pick that we're both like? And I didn't want to be like,
You watched
this,
that chick movie last week, Terry.
I wanted
to
rewatch it again for a while.
What did you want to watch for a while?
I've been wanting to rewatch it for a while now, and then I was hovered over it and was The Cable Guy.
Did she give it to? Did she give it
she's
up?
She's like, oh, I'd love to watch that again. I was like, perfect. Like,
no hesitation.
Yeah, play. And because I was like, you know, this is the first movie we watched in our old apartment when we didn't have TV, or it was like the first DVD we stuck in.
Nice.
And she was like, no way.
Bringing her in even more. I like it.
And because we'd had like a couple of drinks, like, you're able to appreciate that. I think like when you get a bit looser and you watch The Cable Guy, you're like, man, this is fucking weird, but it's also so fucking good and so ahead of its time.
It's brilliant. It's like, a shame that it was seen at the time as such a...
I think it's definitely his best movie. Like,
Jim Carrey's best movie?
In terms of him and his performance and stuff like that. Like, I think it's definitely my favorite anyway. Like,
Maybe Lawyer.
Get lost. Like,
he's at a 10, though. He's all in on Lawyer.
What's great about this is he's at a 10 for loads, but there's loads of little subtle things that he's doing in it, like... After Stephen punched him, he's like, I forgive you, Stephen. I just hope my neurologist feels the same way. And then he does like a little like stumble before he like leaves. And I was like, or like even something like, what does he say? He's like, I checked her out last week. I'm as healthy as a horse. Not a drip.
Really? That was Ben Stiller's.
Ben Stiller directed it. Yeah. And I fucking, again.
Was that like 97?
96, I think, maybe 97, but like Ben Stiller directed, and I was like thinking it's really well directed because, there's loads of bits that like he mixes in like theme songs from the TV shows that they're talking about.
Yeah,
like at the very end when he's being taken away and he's like, "My name, it's Ricky." Ricky Ricardo, and like, and it's like then that he's from I Love Lucy, and then as he's being airlifted away, it's the I Love Lucy theme song. As he's, I was like, that's fucking like all these great little touches that like,
well directed,
well directed, and then it's like he's kind of very underrated director. If you think of Zoolander as well, which is also very well directed, movie.
Two comedy classics, you'd argue in the last whatever 20, 30 years,
But no, I just had an absolute blast. Nice. And even Broderick is fucking great in it. Like, you know,
Generally don't like him, but he's good in that.
He's such a good straight man in that. Like,
yeah, he's perfect for that.
He's in the van with him and Jim Carrey's out there spouting loud and he's like, well, goodbye. Just get down and leaves. Like, yeah, that's probably what you would have to do in that situation. Like,
definitely.
It's on Netflix. Check it out.
I'll give it another whirl, Terry.
I've got two more things I want to talk about quickly.
Okay.
I watched Bad Boys for Life.
Oh.
And I'll just say this.
I mean, is it as bad as we all know it is?
Yeah, it's not good. You know, they do a weird... It's 2 hours long, and yet you could cut the first half... Or you could cut the first 45 minutes to an hour out of the movie. Right. And then tack on another half an hour to balance it out. Like,
right.
They spend the first hour kind of spinning in circles, and then it does kind of seem like they're setting up like a spin-off TV show within the movie, and like all this weird and they do this really annoying thing in it where they like make up a whole new backstory for Will Smith's character as if it was there the whole time.
What?
And they do this like an hour and a half into the movie, you know, you're like,
oh, I just forgot, I'm scared of spiders.
No, it's more that it's like
shit like that.
It's like something all along, it's something from his past. The bad guy in it was something from his past that has never been mentioned before. No. They kind of mention, it's like, I've only been in love once or something. They mentioned earlier on in the film. And then, of course, it turns out to be... Anyway, it connected to that yes. and all this stuff. And it's like, okay. Like, Will Smith looks great. Like
Will Smith is great. Let's just call a spade a spade. Like... What's your beef with Will Smith?
I don't know.
What is it?
He's weird. He's an odd guy.
We're all weird.
Yeah, but like I just think he's probably like phony. You know what I mean?
But like
there's something behind that veneer, and I want to see what it is, but he won't let me.
I feel like you feel the same way about Will Smith as you do with The Rock.
Oh yeah, another you one. It's like, hey, always sunny, always happy. But also, I'm a badass once the cameras start rolling. Like, yeah, but like in your real life, like who have you got in your dungeon, or what? You know, like what's going on there? Like,
I always notice about
there's some dark secret there.
As much as I love Will Smith, I do notice whenever he's on talk shows, he doesn't laugh with his eyes.
No.
On whenever I see him like interacting with people being super nice. Like now maybe it's just that, you know, he can be tired and not like fair enough, you wouldn't always find everything funny. But like there's a few times where I've seen him on like Graham Norton where he's laughing and I'm like,
he's too on when he's on Graham Norton. And that whole thing, remember he brought out fucking Carlton
that was good.
It was weird.
If you like the intro to Guardians of the Galaxy 2, then you have to give it up for something like that as well, where you just sort of throw up your shoulders.
No, that's not real life, Andy.
And you're like, come on, it's fun time.
It's not real life. Like there's no way that like the people in Guardians of the Galaxy 2 was like, no, we're really like this all the time. No, you know.
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah. I liked it, but yeah, I do agree. He's got something going on, all right.
See, it's like the same kind of Tom Cruise thing, but Tom Cruise is like mental. Like you kind of accept it from him because you know he's mental, because he's very upfront about his Scientology.
Is he? Yeah, but he's not upfront about how mental he is, though.
No, but like
he's upfront about what he believes, and then he doesn't really say much else. But like we all know he's got mad shit going on. We all know Travolta's got mad shit going on. But we like them both
because they both declared that they're Scientologists. Like I just have a feeling like
it's like the crazy stamp.
Yeah, and then you're like, okay, grand, you know.
You can come and go as you please.
Absolutely, yeah. You want to shave your head? Or you want to stop wearing wigs, John? Yeah, cool.
So what would you give Bad Boys for Life out of 10?
Being generous, I'd give it a 5. Now, I don't I remember hating Bad Boys 2.
I haven't even seen that.
It's really like...
I'd say it's just loud. That's what loud, I heard, actually.
It's loud and offensive.
It was an attack on the senses. That's what
I heard. Yes, 100%. Like, whereas the first one I haven't watched in so long that I'd probably be interested to watch it again.
I was considering it for the Patreon, to be honest.
Hey, man.
I'm saying nothing.
Yeah, well. Last thing I want to talk about is a new show I've been watching on Sky Atlantic.
Okay.
You've probably seen ads for it before. Gangs of London. I think it's been out for a while.
No, I haven't really seen much about it now.
It's basically, it's the guy who directed The Raid.
Oh, yeah.
So it's Gareth Evans, I think it is his name. And he's doing, it's a show about all these gangs in London, but it's like Colm Meaney is the head.
Sold.
He's the head honcho, but he gets murdered straight off. So his son is taken over, and his son is the guy from whatchamajigger, Peaky Blinders. Joe Ooh. Cole is his name in real life. I think he's the younger brother.
Oh yeah, he's good.
Yeah, let's and see. This is kind of weird. He plays like, is he the wild man in Peaky Blinders?
He he's kind of started out as like the kid, and then he became all kind of ruthless mental. And like mental. Yeah,
yeah. And this one, he's very much, he's like the weak son. They're all like, he'll never be his father type thing.
Yeah,
And he kind of plays it well.
He's a good actor.
Yeah, I don't like him, but I'm not supposed to like him. You know what I mean? No, yeah. That's the thing. Like, you're not supposed right, right. to. But it's like he, like his dad, all the other gangs kind of pay up to his dad or whatever. They run the heroin trade, right. And so he wants to find out who killed his dad, and it could be any one of these gangs.
Is
for any
it
reason.
Seth back in the day?
No, it's okay. You know, and then there's this other guy who seems to be like, he's just a low-level fella, and he kind of finds himself involved in... He's like, oh, I'd recognise that guy, whatever. He gets involved in the kind of inquiry into it, and you're kind of following him trying to move his way up the organisation.
Is it a season or a movie?
It's a season. It's a season. It's eight episodes. Yeah, I like, what it does do is it presupposes that everyone in the life of crime in London can do fucking deadly martial arts, because there's loads of fucking great like jiu-jitsu and all this okay. like fighting. The action is incredible in it.
Right.
But like, if you've seen The Raid, you'll know that like that's
I've seen it for a bit. I can't remember why I turned it off.
It's fucking deadly.
I do like, remember I have you telling me about it.
They're
yeah.
Brilliant. Both brilliant movies. Like, if you like Kung Fu, you know what I mean?
I think
like,
it was the length of them. Are they long? Are they mad long?
Not really. Like, you know, the first one's kind of like a video game. He starts yeah. off at the bottom level of a tower block, and he has to work his way yeah. up to the top. Like, it's really good.
I do love those concept sort of movies, all right, but... Or those contained movies, but, yeah.
This is a good show. I'm enjoying it. And, like, I was watching it last night, and I was watching an episode, and I was like, it's okay. The story's being developed a little bit. And then they did something at the end of the episode that I was like reeling from. Like the last 10, 15 minutes, I was like, what the fuck? Just like, it's gone mental. And I love
it
when a show.
Check it out now.
I love when a show can do that, when it's just like, you think you're in, all right, yeah. And then yeah. they completely pull the rug from you, and you're like, okay, yeah, I want to watch yeah. the next. Like, if it wasn't fucking 11 o'clock now, I'd be watching another one. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
But it's good. It's on, I think you'll get a series length or whatever. It's on Sky Atlantic.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking, there was something that I saw. I can't remember what. I actually just remember you know what? Forget it. It's going to take forever. But Gangs of London, I will check out anyway. I had a loose thought there, but it would have taken me about 2 minutes to get my shit together to actually figure out what I'm about to say. So, Terry, without further ado, can I talk to you for a while about The Simpsons, if you don't mind?
Hit me. All
right. More specifically, Terry, can I talk to you about the 22nd episode of The Simpsons' 7th season, Raging Abe Simpson and his grumbling grandson in The Curse of the Flying Hellfish? Terry.
Yes. You can.
It aired in April 28th, 1996. Got a Nielsen rating of 8.3 and was the second highest rated show on Fox that week following The X-Files.
Second? Yes. Rebound.
Was like eighth last week.
I wonder where 90210 and all off the air at the moment.
Ah, yeah.
You know? I mean, that X-Files is a force, though.
It is a force. Jonathan Collier? Who wrote the episode, got the idea after reading several then-current stories about lost art surfacing. And the story then evolved into one involving Grandpa and Burns, and gave the writers a chance to introduce the relatives of some of the recurring characters. The other members of the Flying Hellfish were based on stereotypical war movie characters, which we know. The idea of having a tontine came from Bill Oakley, who got the idea from an old Barney Miller episode. And I was looking up tontines.
It's a great idea.
Yeah.
I will say that. Like, I love it.
apparently Louis the 14th first made use of tontines in 1689, and was Donal honest, and the surviving member at the age of 96 received 73,000 livres.
Francs.
Yeah, or whatever it was called back then. The episode was originally called Fighting Hellfish, but was later changed to Flying Hellfish. But the logo that was designed for the Fighting Hellfish wasn't changed, essentially. So that's why he's all muscular.
Bicep. I do love the logo. I think it's great. It's fucking deadly. I've been very tempted to buy a t-shirt with that logo on it many times. Yeah,
that'd be good. Or a tattoo, Terry.
No, I think if I was to probably get a tattoo, it would probably have some sort of pop culture relevance to it. But I'm very much like, what's the point in me getting a tattoo? You know?
I want one, and then I don't. And then
right on your forehead there. You got some premium real estate.
You son of a bitch. last thing I'll say was that David Silverman describes the directing in the episode as an amazingly brilliant job. It was directed by Jeffrey Lynch, who received some help from Brad Bird, with whom he had worked on a few complex staging shots. Lynch did not have any other episodes to work on at the time and was able to devote a lot of time working on the episode and storyboarded it mostly by himself.
Brad Bird would have been doing The Iron Giant around this time, I think. So, like, right. He would have been kind of moving away from The Simpsons. But that's really cool that, like...
Yeah. Like, so he knows his onions, anyway. And there was loads of other extra... Thing? Yeah, knows his onions, yeah.
Sure, okay.
I actually got it from Alan Partridge.
So probably not really.
Chances are he just made it up, yeah. Just sounded legit. That's all I've got, to be honest. It's fairly light. I will say, reception wise, it got a lot of people praise the episode, especially its cinematic sort of things. Our old pals who don't know we exist, I can't believe it's a bigger and better updated unofficial Simpsons guide. Warren Martin and Adrian Wood said that the episode is notable for Mr. Burns' impersonation of Marge. Don't really know what that means. Some spectacular action sequences.
You don't know what that means?
Mr. Burns' impersonation of Marge.
Yeah. No.
Like, oh, yeah, of course. Okay. It's actually a scene I didn't like from it, to be honest. But it is not especially brilliant, they said. So, that's all I've got, Terry. Unless you have anything to add.
No, I'm actually very looking forward to hearing what you think about it, or like get into your notes, because I know you're not a huge Abe Simpson fan.
I'm not.
So I was thinking about you when I was watching. I was like, I wonder how this is going to sit with Andy.
I'm just going to get into it now. I'm going to tell you what I thought of it.
Okay.
Then I'm going to get into it. I didn't love it. I was also curious to see what you think. I thought, like... It was like cinematically, it was excellent, but the story, like I do appreciate even like something that they're going with something very different. There was elements of it that I really liked, but overall I was kind of left a bit like, yeah.
I'm very mixed on it myself, to be honest. And maybe when we get into it, we can kind of pinpoint why.
Shall we?
It is, like you say, very cinematic, and it does feel like a big. Like, it feels like a feature kind of episode.
It's like an action movie, almost.
Yeah, you know? And there's lots of that I love. But yeah, when we got to like halfway through, I was like, oh, right, like we're halfway through already.
And plus, you know what, one of my tells as well is that if I'm watching the episode, because like I do copious note-taking, enough that I miss a lot of the jokes, to be honest. But I can always tell if I'm not taking a huge amount of notes, or I'm like, sometimes I'll be about to make a note of something and I'll be like, nah, I wouldn't even write enough for that. I don't feel anything about that.
A lot of blue hair.
Marge says hair so high on her head, huh?
Okay, well, hit me with your first note then.
I love Milhouse's granddad. That's my first note.
Yes, I love all the grand.
They're great. There's so many of, like, I didn't even really piece it together at the time, but like even in different settings, you see Milhouse's granddad, you see Nelson's granddad, you see Principal Skinner's dad, Wiggum's dad, like all these people. Like,
I just love, like, Milhouse's granddad is like, I'm not Superman.
And plus, I never noticed before the line where it's like, me and the new wife took the trailer.
I never even thought that. How many of you drove your house here today?
Like, so smug about it. I was also
rolling into Nelson's granddad. Like, no, I'm not Superman.
I did quite like the fact that like Nelson clearly loves his granddad.
Yeah, it's really
that
nice.
That was actually a rare nice
considering
moment
his
for
dad's
Nelson.
Not in the picture. Like, you know.
Then,
but I love how Nelson's granddad as the judge is like the one who takes pride in sentencing people to death. Like, yeah. He's still kind of like a mean judge. You know what I mean? Like,
that's why he loves him so much.
Yeah.
47 people to the electric chair.
Yeah.
Then when Abe Simpson is basically heckling them throughout and he gets called up. I like the fact that he just bonks Krabappel. Yeah. Like,
what does
time,
he call
not, her? Not head.
Yeah. that was funny.
Probably
like
the biggest
spitting around, I thought was quite good as well.
Yeah, and Bart's trying to like keep him calm by like, here, spit again.
Yeah,
like,
spit in here.
The biggest laugh I probably got from it was where he's given the whole spiel about 19 dickety do. We had to say dickety because blah blah blah, and everyone laughs and Martin. Yeah, he's like dickety, highly dubious. He's like, what are you cackling at, fatty? Too much pie. That's your problem.
He really is like, he's not a sad sack in this at all. You know, where you can oscillate between like
Abe,
cantankerous or like really pathetic. And in this, he's like, okay, I'm angry for the whole thing.
Yeah. Although, I guess there's a little section in it where he's waking up to check the mail. And he's like, maybe if I go to sleep. So there was a little rare little window of his desperation.
This stuff wasn't even worth getting up for. It's like, you know, he has nothing going on in his life. I forgot. Like.
Yeah, exactly. The next note for me was just love the Hellfish logo, as we discussed. Yes. Excellent logo. I'm a big fan of circular logos.
You're doing that white supremacist sign to me here, what? Andy. It's okay.
That one?
Yeah.
I have the middle finger and the thumb in a circle. That's not okay.
Oh, okay. Maybe. I don't know. That
thing. Do you think I was doing
No, this thing here is like
the okay symbol.
Yeah, it's like a white supremacy thing now.
Get out of here. Since
it
when?
Since a long time.
People use that emoji every day. Like,
well, I think it's like if you do it down by your side. You know the way Trump used to always talk like this?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's part of it.
Oh, so he stole it? I reject his authority to take it. How about that? Huh?
Okay.
You heard it here first. And Trump, if he wants to come on, I'll tell him to his face as well. All right? I'm not scared of him. I don't know why I'm going down this alley.
Why are you even talking about him?
I don't know. I don't. Oh, I was trying to figure out what this was from. The Asa Phelps. So Abe basically gets the letter. Asa Phelps is dead, and I just loved. Like, I never noticed before Reverend Lovejoy's,
speech.
Yeah, as Burns and Abe are looking at each other, he's like, he worked as a molder boy until he was replaced by a molder matic and died. What's he talking about? I love that whole grave scene, to be honest. Like,
brilliant.
Just there with their umbrellas in the rain. That was one of the best scenes of the episode.
It is really well animated, this episode. It looks fantastic.
It does. Yeah. And you can tell that, like, just like that. It looks great. You can tell there's a difference to it, like.
So the next bit I always think of is he gets in touch with the hitman, Burnsy being he.
Fernando Vidal.
And it's something I say all the time. It's
I already know.
Del Monte. Enjoy the moment. They will be your last. But even though he's like, Marion Barry, is it time for another shipment already? He's like, it's Montgomery Burns. Like, oh crap.
Like, and of all things, that's Del Monte.
Yeah. he's eating Del Monte in the picture out of the cans. Like,
is that from something though? Like, it seems so weird that there's even Del Monte in the can.
No, but the whole thing of like guy getting, you know, the hitman getting his assignment and he gets the black and white picture and putting the cigarette out on their face is a trope from movies, you know. And then his numerous attempts, I guess, like.
Yeah, I didn't like. I was
used to love it. I couldn't wait for it, and then it was like, something fell flat. Like
it felt if the costumes one felt flat, where they're dressed up as the Simpsons. I didn't particularly care for that. But I was a fan of the line where he's like talking about like the intricate chess. Way.
Yeah.
It's like so precise. whatever. It's like a game of chess. Like just kicks the door in. It's like.
And I love your one with the shotgun, like.
Yeah,
firing straight back.
Our residents are trying. So yeah, I like that. I liked.
I know. This is part of the episode for me. In my head, I was like, "Oh, this bit and this bit and this bit." And I was like,
as they happened,
they were like, "I was like, huh. Kind of like the I didn't do it."
I did like Jasper after all that. Of that gunshot, he's like, was that you or was that me?
I think Jasper is another, like, when he's used properly, he's like,
yeah, he's great. You know,
he's such a like wild card to just throw in there.
The next note I just have is just Iggy Wiggum, just an appreciation for the name.
Anybody Iggy find Wiggum. A grenade without a pin?
It was essentially just Police Chief Wiggum.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, Skinner looks slightly different.
I love the look of the Skinner. You know,
he's got like glasses and like smaller eyes.
Yeah, yeah. Like his features are sharper.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then who else was there? Oh, Arnie.
Yeah, Arnie Gumbel. Did they ever show him, or was he?
I don't think so, because I was looking out to see how similar he looked.
He was in the thing the whole time.
And then Burns.
You said you were dead.
I was a fan of the line when they go in and they see the paintings and all this sort of stuff. Your man's like, think of what a guy could get with that kind of scratch.
I think that's Asa, was it?
Is that Asa?
Yeah, I think really. That's Asa.
Think of what a guy can get himself
Ox,
with that kind of
Asa,
scratch.
And then the two others, I can't remember.
Yeah, Phelps, I want to say.
No, it's Asa Phelps.
Oh, yeah. Fucking Asia. Phelps,
you're hanging on by a thread, Andy.
Die Hard Simpsons podcast.
Yeah. I brought this mic from home.
Die Hard Simpsons fans.
Yeah, so I love this idea of like, because I have it kicking around in my head, like a script idea, something very similar to this. That like the idea of like treasure that you can't touch for, you know, so X amount of time or whatever, and it's like, would you go mad and try and kill them to be like, I don't know.
When am I going to get to see one of these?
Never.
One of these movies that you keep teasing me with.
Never, never, ever.
Just give me something.
No. Okay. Nothing.
Okay. How's the Adam Sandler project coming?
I told you, it's just sitting there now.
Well, did you see on social media this week where he hit the drive again, Adam Sandler, and then Shooter McGavin posted a reply. It was fucking brilliant.
I didn't see the Shooter one. I saw Sandler.
It was like he's proper, like, you know, like to the camera, like, because he's like, so you think you're good, or whatever it is. he does this little put in his sitting room.
Nice drive, Gilmore. 25 years, huh? Let's see if it's Shooter's tour. Check it out. Oh, yeah. It's all about the short game. Drive for show, putt for the dough. Money. Shooter, still got it. Well, thank you to all the fans, and thank you to you, Adam Sandler. And why don't you just meet me at the ninth green at 9, Gilmore? Little secret of the pros. Okay? Oh, and Gilmore, wear something nice. 25th anniversary, baby. Shooter out.
It was fucking great.
Make a sequel already.
I was just thinking when I was watching this, I was like, I'm surprised that they haven't made, because they've got Adam Sandler and they've got Shooter McGavin, and everyone else is fairly interchangeable. Like,
you couldn't though. Like, if what would you do?
They're training young golfers or something.
Oh, okay. So
Adam
they're...
Sandler could be training fucking, I don't know, Michael Cera, although he's probably like 45 now. And Shooter could be training fucking, I don't know, Benedict Cumberbatch.
No, what?
I don't know. I just
don't
always
put
go
him
with,
anywhere.
I just always go
always
Benedict
go
Cumberbatch.
With him.
And I hate him as well. I don't like him anymore.
Wait till you see that new Doctor Strange.
I know. That'll bring me back.
Yeah. What were we talking about?
I don't know. Oh, the Tontine.
Yes.
Big fan of, was it Ox's explanation?
Yeah.
It's a proper, like,
yeah, it's perfect. It reminds me of that, like, stay on Riverdale.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Good soul possession, all them pretty pictures.
Yeah. Well said, Oxford.
Oxford. Yeah. But now, I have some questions.
Sure.
You know what? I'll save it because it's coming up now in a second. But the next line that I have is just, I love Burns' little art puns that he makes throughout. He goes, time is Monet's.
Yeah.
And there was another one. It's like, what was it? Something to do with, like, picking. Stop pinching my Botticelli.
Oh, yeah.
Something like that. So, yeah, big fan of wordplay. So, yeah, like that.
There was a bit when he bursts into the room. And he's like, so long, Simpson. And, like, just, like, smashes into Lisa's room.
Yeah.
Like, oh, go back to sleep. He's like, yeah. I've always loved that line, like, Lisa thinks this is Santa.
I just love the fact that, like, he's destroying his method of showing up to get the key off him. I'm just going to cut a big fucking hole in his house and stick the crane head in. Like, I'm not going to, like, knock the door down or get in through the window. I'm just going to cut a big hole and get in and there.
It is one of these episodes that they, you know, sometimes Burns can't lift a sponge off his head.
Other times
he's like, Mr. Active old man.
I thought that when he kicked Bart into that crate, which we'll get to, but, you know, I was like, it's like sometimes he literally can't even hold a sponge, like, like
he's
said,
drowning. Like,
who set up this elaborate searchlight system was my question.
But that was the
and
thing.
Who buried it?
Yeah, like, and how do they get them out of the country?
Yeah, there's so many questions. And, like, would they have given it to other people then who didn't, you know what I mean? Who
it's
buried
a good
it
gag,
on their behalf?
Though. It is a good gag where it's like, now we follow the light. And it's like, water, you know?
Yeah, I like
And then the whole thing with Flanders' boat, I liked.
I love that. How optimistic is that?
Bring it back. Yeah, Grandpa's not even looking up. Like, and it's like, that's just something Homer would be doing as well, like, which I think
that's
a lovely
actually.
Touch. Like,
boy, you borrow us some diving equipment while I borrow this boat.
Well, howdy doodly, stranger. Couldn't help but notice you stealing my boat.
I'll bring it back.
You ever operated a powerboat?
No.
Know anything about water safety?
No.
What do you need it for?
It's a secret.
Ooh, sounds spine tingly dingling. Just promise you'll have a good time. Maud, boys, coming up. We're going to have a little camp out in the dinghy.
It's like, where are you going? It's like, it's a secret. No, sounds spine dingly dingly.
Like,
at what point does he give out?
We're camping out in the dinghy. Like, that's all it takes. Like, it's a secret.
And they're all equally as excited. Yay!
They're such good characters, the Flanderses.
He's just, like, optimistic to a fault. Like, I have that. Yeah, the next note I have is just the kicking of Bart into the crate. Fucking hell.
I love how, like, this is a part, like, we're right at the end here. Now, this is the bit that I was like, they're really, other parts of it might have fallen a bit flat for me, but, like, these parts were really, I was hooked back in.
Yeah.
Because it was like, the light goes out in the thing, and then, like, Burns lights the flare, and you're like, oh, shit, like.
Yeah, I love,
like,
how he appears.
Scary movie, almost.
Yeah.
And then the kicking Bart into the thing. And, like, the
full on, like, ooh,
the thwack, yeah,
yeah.
And then, but seeing Bart in the crate with the water coming in, I was like, oh, jeez, I do not like the idea of drowning.
Yeah, let me ask you something, Terry.
Mm-hmm.
If I had to play devil's advocate here, would you rather drown in a box that's filling with water, or drown in a box that's filling with sand?
Oh, man.
I always remember that scene in the Jungle Book back in the day where your man gets buried in the sand, the bad guy. And it always stuck in me. Of just
wasn't,
like,
the tiger the bad guy in the Jungle Book? Sure,
something. No, not the new one. The one from, like, 25 years ago. Wasn't there one?
Oh, not the actual Disney, the old one?
No, like, I don't even know if it was.
I never saw that live action one, actually, that came out in the 90s.
Yeah, I think it was that one. But yeah, maybe I never saw that one. But yeah, anyway, you get buried alive in sand. So what would you choose, Terry?
Well, I already just told you I hate the idea of drowning.
Yeah. So which one would you hate the most, huh?
I guess water, because like I'd probably pick sand because I don't know what it's like. Right. Whereas I've almost drowned with water and I did not care for that experience.
True, yeah. Sorry, it was insensitive of me to bring it up. I forgot you almost drowned.
No, I opened the door, counselor.
Okay, great.
I brought
it's official. You want to drown in water. Got it.
Oh. I actually get, like, whenever I'm watching a TV show or something where it's like somebody's holding their breath.
Yeah.
I find myself, I've taken really? A deep, like, if they're going, like, I'd be like, and then, as if I'm going under as well with them. I don't know. Ugh. Do not like it.
I have a similar one with bees and wasps on TV.
My girl.
And but just in general, just if I see or hear them on TV, if I'm watching TV and like there's bees and wasps going on and someone just touches me, I'm always like, ah! Yeah. Like, you know, you can't sneak up on me like that, do you? All of the underwater scenes, big fans of. Looked great. Bart swimming down looked great. Abe swimming down looked great. All that was very good.
Yeah.
Love the boat chase. Smithers just again been so obliging. It's like, we're gonna have to offload something. He just stares at him. It's like, it's been a pleasure to serve you, sir.
Like Grandpa, when he gets on like the water skiing, he's like, "Act your age, Simpson." You know, and then like. When you see he kind of steadies and he's like, and like climbing up, I was like, yeah, fucking go. Like,
and you find how big he is. Abe's like, fairly big. Like.
Well, in this one he is. He's like, his arms are out. Like, when he's going to grapple him, like, you're like, fucking hell. It's like a wrestling stance or something.
So then they land ashore and he
beats the shit out of him. Very satisfying. Like, and I love that whole thing. You're out of my unit. You're out of the Tontaine. And the paintings are mine. You are dismissed.
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah, and then the great little kind of reveal at the end
goes. It turns out it goes to the relative of the Nazis who had the paintings or whatever it was.
Yeah, and I love like the things that he's hitting. He's like, I have to get back to dance party in Stuttgart to see Kraftwerk. Yeah. Like, yes, perfect. Picking Stuttgart, I think, was a perfect one for it. But also, like, throwing Kraftwerk in there and having it. I think it says dance party, but, like, it's just fucking great.
I watched the CD changer in my trunk.
Yeah.
Idiot.
And then that whole, like, this is the music, like, doo.
Yeah.
Doo, doo. Write a song. Doo. And he's like, have fun, boys. Get a room.
Yeah,
and then that's the end of the episode.
Yeah, it was a nice little moment between Bart and Abe, considering Bart was so dismissive of Abe until Burns cut a hole in as well. Should we dig into ratings here, Terry?
Yeah.
We want you to tell us what you think and be honest, because no one from the show is here spying on you.
What did you think of it?
Like I say, I liked it. Like, I didn't dislike it.
Yeah.
But I don't know how funny I found it, or like,
yeah,
it wasn't like last week where I was like, like everything was landing or hitting for me. This time I was like,
yeah,
I can appreciate it, and there's certain things in it, like the little character stuff with like Milhouse's granddad, you know, like is like a nice little opener. Excuse me. It just felt like there was stretches in it where I was like, okay, like you're waiting for the next thing to come along.
Yeah.
You know, is that the best it makes way sense. To describe it? Like,
yeah, like it kind of felt like they almost didn't have, they either had too much time or not enough time to do a proper action and fill it with what it needs to make it good or whatever. You know what I mean? Like if they'd have made it a 10-minute one, maybe that would have worked better, or if they had maybe 50 minutes, maybe they could have done it better. But I don't know why, I feel like the timing of it, they didn't really have enough time to get too deep into other stuff. So they kind of had a bit of filler and, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, it seems like filler because you're not like I wanted a bit more of in Germany maybe, or I wanted a bit more, or France, whatever. Like, well, I wanted a bit more of that. I wanted a bit more of, like, when you finally get to them, getting the keys and stuff like that, like, you know, that part of the puzzle or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I loved the last 5 minutes of this, or the last 7 minutes, whatever, when they turned the keys.
Yeah.
And I wish that had come earlier in the episode, maybe.
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah.
You could cut out a few other bits.
Yeah, it seemed like there's definitely bits that could have been missed, and there's other bits that I would have liked to have seen more of.
Yeah, it's a tough one. It's because it's not by any means a bad episode.
No,
but like, there's nothing in it that annoyed me or anything like that. But like, at the same time, I was like, I know I expected more. Yeah, I wanted a bit more.
Who's your MVP, pal?
I'm gonna go with
yes.
I don't think Burnsy or Abe for me. They're not.
Ooh.
I don't think either of them. I'm gonna go with the hitman. What's his name? Fernando Vidal.
Yes. Is it Fernando Vidal? Yes. It's
just that the two bits that he gave me were great. The Del Monte and then like the chess. You know, kind of. There good. You go. Like. Good.
And what's your rating?
I'm gonna give it a respectable 8.7.
Wow, very respectable. Okay.
But like if you look at my scores, I'd say, you know, most of them are in the high eights and nines because I've been very high on this season. So like,
this has been your lowest one for in the last six.
Yeah, there you go.
So like, they've all been big hitters. Like I said, I'd agree with pretty much what you said. I will give it to Abe this time, because I was thinking when I was coming into it that like Burns is, I was like, oh great, we get like an episode of like half Burns. I was like, he's gonna be gas, but Burns didn't quite deliver with the
he's
amount.
He's too busy being the bad guy, you know, to be funny.
Burns is funny when he's at a loose end.
Is funny when
he doesn't have to do.
Yeah, when he doesn't have an agenda or anything like that. When he's just like, you see him like, I don't know, Homer
with
sliding
the money on the string.
Homer sliding into his office trying to get injured, and he's like,
yes,
may I help you? He's like, if you give me a little shove back to the door, he's like, okay, you know, like that kind of those interludes when he's being a bit wacky, I guess.
Yeah, he didn't really have
he's
that
too serious.
I would give this one an 8.3 myself.
Okay.
So yeah, not bad, not amazing, but I enjoyed it.
Right in the meaty part of the curve.
Right in that meaty part of the curve. Now, Terry, can we get our plugs in, please?
Sure. How about you tell me and the good folks at home where they can find us online?
You can find us on Twitter and Instagram at Put It In H Podcast. You can find everything we do there. We sometimes post funny memes. Sometimes. We post stuff on Instagram, probably more, but you can find everything we do there, and you can buy some merch and help support our Patreon if you like. Terry, why don't you talk to them a bit more about the old Patreon?
Well, if you want to come over and join our Players Club in the Patreon, it costs you a low, low fee of $5 per month. And when you're in the Players Club, you get 2 episodes monthly of our sister podcast, What's So Great About, where we take a topic and we kind of try and dig into what makes it so great. First time around, I was trying to show Andy what made the MCU so great. And this time around, he is picking a lovely little list of 90s action movies. We've already got Broken Arrow and True Lies in the can. We've got Speed coming up next week on the pod, which I'm very excited to dig into. The other two weeks of the month, you get a bunch of bonus episodes being.
Give anything, really.
Yeah, really. Like, we're doing our top 5 children's songs tonight. And
our own kids' songs.
Yeah. We're not a couple of creeps.
Essentially, but, if you like us and you'd like to hear more us talking about non-Simpsons related things, the Patreon is where you go. And I'll tell you what else the Players Club will be getting soon, Terry.
Well, I was going to say, I'd never bring it up, but once you join, you get a bunch of goodies as well that Andy has procured for our patrons.
Yeah. I haven't been sending out too many goodies as of late. However, coming their way soon will be the old Players Club gentleman holding the card pin. Ooh. So that's why we ask for your address, folks. We're not a bunch of creeps. We like to send you things. We do send things. I haven't done it in a while, but we're going to send everyone on the Patreon one of those cool Players Club pins. We might sell off the remaining ones. Who knows? But yeah, that's another little gift.
Well, now, if you can't afford to get on the Patreon, first of all, thank you.
I understand. I mean, $500 a month is a lot for anyone to... $5 a month, and you're saying they can't afford it. You like that?
Yeah, you're doing bits now too.
Thanks. I thought, oh, you were always going to get a bit more from you. I just kind of killed it towards the end. Anyway,
I didn't yes and with you. I'm sorry.
It's fine. Yeah. It's fine. Look, we're all just trying to get through this fucking pandemic, aren't we?
Wait till we're back in studio. Whenever that'll be, 2022.
I feel like we've almost been doing this as long now as we've been doing a face-to-face. Like, we've been doing the recording. I don't think that's true.
Maybe. Like,
it's been a solid...
Going on a year. We only had one record. 11, or
it's actually just been 11 months, so we've actually done more without. But, Jesus, it feels like a long time ago.
But, if you can't afford to get behind the Patreon... First of all, thank you for listening to the podcast. You know, you're doing it, you're helping us by doing that, but you can help me a little bit more. Me, what I need is 5-star review. Now, I know there was 8 people in the Tontaine in the episode today.
Tontine.
Whatever. I only need 5 stars, okay? 5 stars. That's all I need.
How does he do it, folks? Every
basically,
week.
Basically, I look out for a number in an episode and then...
replace it with 5 stars.
Yeah. I mean, it's a simple formula. But that's all I need, folks. 5 stars. A little review saying, you know, Terry's great. Andy's able.
Andy's treading water.
He's hanging on by a thread. So if you can't afford a Patreon... That's a very good way to support us. And it's free. It only takes, you know, a couple of seconds of your time.
Mm-hmm. So, and, you know, share, so do it. You know, all the other stuff. But most importantly, if you're listening to us right now, thank you. Because we love doing it and we love that people enjoy it. And whether you're on the Patreon or whether you're not, we're just happy you're here, folks.
You're all our friends, but you're not a Players Club member unless you're on the Patreon.
And on that bombshell, Terry, can I say what we will be reviewing next week?
How about I do that for you?
Okay.
It's Much a Poo About Nothing.
Oh, the
it's
one where he's
a poo episode.
See, at first I was thinking, oh, the marriage one, but no, it's the one where
it's
he...
the bear tax.
Oh, fucking brilliant!
Homeowner tax.
I pay the homeowner tax.
I pay the homeowner tax. Homer tax. You pay the homeowner tax.
Brilliant.
Oh, well,
I look forward to that one. And yes,
stay
so
safe, everyone out there.
See you next week.
Goodbye.
fluttering wind, so it leads me to your garden, 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 garden.
I'm coming.